Today on Real Radio.
Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. There's the wavelength. You with me? Faith.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series taken from the last two paragraphs of chapter 10. Here's where Paul writes about authority and boasting. But of course, these are to be approached within the context of the fact that there are true teachers and false teachers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a series called More Than What Meets the Eye.
Appearance is one thing. The character is completely different. And listen, by you and I serving one another, imagine, sometimes we discount this, the witness that you and I are serving one another with is one of the most amazing, powerful things. Have you ever spent time with someone and you've looked up to them and then you spent some time with them? I hope that after you spent some time with them, that your time with them was edifying. For edification. I'm not going to name any names, but years ago, somebody came up to me and they said, "Hey, there's Pastor so-and-so over there. Do you want to meet him?" This is terrible, but I'm admitting it to you and you'll never know who it is. And I said, because it was a certain season in my life as a pastor here at this church, I was getting kind of disillusioned and the Lord really convicted me. This has nothing to do with our notes, I don't think. But maybe this is for you. I would look at other ministers and, you know, okay, I need to be more like that because they know what they're doing. They've been doing this forever. I need to be more like that. And the Lord kept telling me, and we're going to touch on it today, is don't compare yourself among yourself. Don't do that, Jack. Be an imitator of me. Now, I heard that like you hear it. I hear it. But my appearance, you see what's in my eyes and my wavelength? It wasn't, my wavelength vision was not outside the 600 to 750 or wavelength. It should have been outside that area. It was in that area, and so I was looking at appearance. And then I got kind of hurt a few times just by watching someone. And then I had him there. Now listen, we shouldn't have anybody there, up there. But in a sense, we should. In a healthy way, there should be people that inspire us. There should be people that encourage us. Are you with me? There should be people that sharpens our iron. Just be careful who they are. I'd been disillusioned by a few, and then somebody, and this one particular person, they are far away from here, but I'd listen on the Christian radio, and I loved their teaching, and the person said, "Hey, there's so-and-so. You want to meet him?" And I said, "No, I'd rather not." "Why not? He's right there." And I said, "Because I love him. I get so much out of him. I just want to keep it that way." Now, that's cynical. But you know what? I've had people tell me the very similar thing in this foyer. Because you know what? I don't always make it out there, but I do make it out there more often than not. Somebody might say, "Well, you didn't say hi to me." Well, if I go back there, I'm either catching an airplane or I got to go to the bathroom. It's one or the other. Normally, I go up this aisle and out to the foyer, right? And I see people walk by. You guys are awesome. Watch this. There's people. Now, don't take this wrong. There are people who I say hi to every week. And that's okay, but I'd rather those people that come up to me that say hi to me every week, I'd rather just go like this. "God bless you. See you later." Whew. Why? What? Because I see people walk through the foyer and they're like this. Are you watching? Are you watching me? They're like this. I love them. I love them. I love you. If that's you, I love you. Here's the deal. Watch. Here's the thing. I'm going to, listen, now nobody's going to go through the foyer. I will look, and the best of my ability, I will look, because sometimes there's just too many people, honestly, with their face turned away. It's like I have cooties times 10. They see me, and they go, look. And those are the ones that I'm going to go like this. "Hey, oh, hey, hey, hi, how are you?" But you know what? I've had people tell me, "Listen, I love it here. I am growing here. I don't want to meet you. I understand exactly where they're coming at. It's a defense mechanism based upon, listen, yes, appearance, but we don't want to be disillusioned or hurt. As a church, listen, no matter who it is, husbands, wives, listen to this. No matter who we might be here today, keep your eyes 6 feet and higher when it comes to what you focus on. Even our husbands and our wives, even, listen, even the sheep, even the pastor, remember this, we are people saved by the grace of God. There's one perfect, it's Jesus. He's our target. We'll see this in a moment. He's the one we're focused on, but the truth of the matter is, we keep our eyes on Jesus, and we can handle anything. The moment we start looking at people, oh, you know, you're my feelings. Listen, you're on your way down. Why? Because you're looking at man to meet your need. You're looking, and Paul's going to address this. Don't do that. Serve Jesus with your focus on Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. That's you. Listen to you. Look at you. More than what meets the eye, you are a royal priesthood, God says, a special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness, notice the wavelength, and into his marvelous lights. What an amazing God. It says there that we are to be edifiers and not destroyers. The word here, circle it. Those of you who've read some recent books by lunatics lately, seriously, you can buy them in Christian bookstores. The word destruction here is a perpetual, eternal, forever destruction. It's a state of perpetual destruction eternally. Why do I say that? Because there's so-called biblical scholars now saying, oh, they've discovered some new truth and there is no hell, there's only annihilation. Those who go to heaven, and those who don't, they are annihilated. They have no recollection of anything. They no longer exist. There is no hell. Jesus says there's a hell. This verse right here, this word right here says it's perpetual. It is spiritual forever destruction. The Bible is given to you so you don't go there, okay? God does not want you there. Very important. You ought to agree with him on that and trust his son. Jesus is the ticket. Listen, Jesus is not only the ticket out of this world, he's the ticket into the kingdom of God in heaven forever. But he says right here, look here, as he mentions in verse 8 regarding authority. Regarding authority. And I don't want to belabor this. Authority. You ought to circle the word because authority, as I mentioned the other night, on Wednesday night, authority is established by God. We need to be careful about authority. Church, I'm going to be a little bit sarcastic for impact's sake. Are you with me? Authority. There are two kinds of authority. When you strip it all down, there's two kinds. Which one's true? Just give me the true one. They both are, sad to say. They both are true. Here it is. There's the authority that is established by God, and that is true. And it's biblical. And then there's an authority established by man, and it is true. And it's talked about in the Bible. Both are biblical. One is heavenly and one's demonic. And when you and I live with both, God is the author of authority. Man pirates what God does and messes it up. Is that not true? God invents marriage, man messes it up. God invents sex, man messes it up. God invents currencies, men mess it up. God invents government, man messes it up. Go down the list. Whatever God does, man messes it up. We're so good at it. Do it yourself. Do it yourself. Center. No, I want God to do it for me. I mean, God, you tell me what to do and I'll obey. Oh, my. And then listen. Authority, verse 11. We are bound to the reality, the authority leads us to a place of reality. Verse 11. Verse 11 says, let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters, remember Paul's letters are strong. Obviously, read them. It's so cute, isn't it? Peter, the apostle Peter wrote in Peter's epistle that Paul the apostle, the things that he wrote were sometimes very hard to understand. Doesn't that make you feel better? Did you know Peter said that about Paul? That's awesome, that the great apostle Peter says, yeah, Paul's amazing, but some of the things he writes about, they're hard to understand. That's in the Bible. I think it's so cool. Because don't you read stuff and you go, I don't get that. You know, and by the way, when that happens in your life, you know what that means? That's a God moment. You ought to take a picture. That's a God moment. It means this. The reason why you don't get it is because God is saying, psst, hey, Jack, let's get alone. Let's talk about it. That's a revelation time. If you read something in the Bible, you don't get it, that means you're supposed to pull over at a rest stop and dive into it. You say, well, there's a lot in the Bible I don't understand. Then you better get started. You got a lot of diving in. Listen, it's amazing because the more you learn about the Bible, the more you feel comfortable, and yet the more you learn about the Bible, the more you realize this word is terrifyingly infinite, and it just continues to grow. It is alive. Wow, it's so amazing, the reality of God's word. Paul is simply saying, and listen, church, this is an encouragement, that what we write about, so in our modern day, what we say, what we tweet, what we Facebook, what are the things that are out there? Instagram, whatever we publicly announce says something. Pictures, comments. Don't think these are light things. In fact, the Bible says that everything that you and I say and think is recorded with God. You say, oh, that's ridiculous. Oh, who could do that? Now the internet does. Whatever you put out there 3 years ago, it's still there. So, Pastor, pray for me. Think of it, huh? But wouldn't it be cool if we could look at your, let's say you've been a Christian for 5 years, and we look at your, now I'm trying to make this contemporary, so the older people are going to say, I didn't understand a word you said. But for the last 5 years, let's say you've been tweeting or Facebooking since you became a Christian. You were Facebooking or tweeting before you were a Christian, and those posts are out there. And then you got saved. And you look at your public statements from that point on to today. Have they grown in depth and meaning and sagacity and purpose? Have they? You ought to be able to say, yeah. You see, man, don't talk about Facebook stuff. That's all carnal. Yeah, I think it most often stinks, but it can be used for good. It depends. Listen, it's like money in your pocket. Money doesn't stink. We make it a beautiful smell or we make it stink. It's what you do with it. So what you are saying publicly, Paul is saying, what I've written publicly, you think there's a difference in my life when I show up? That I say something that's very, very biblically strong, and then I show up and I'm some sort of a compromising carnal wacko? Paul says, well, you could just hear him, well, just wait till I arrive. I'll show you something. You're going to find out that what I write and how I live is the same thing. That's cool. Christian, because you are a new creation in Christ, that's how you and I get to live today. We're not bound by the old life that we once knew. We've been freed from that. The reality is, listen, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. There's the wavelength. You with me? Faith. Biblical faith. We can see things that you can't touch. That's the reality. Number two, church, and we'll do these last final points quickly, verses 12 to 18, we are now living for the moment. I know that sounds strange because we have a worldly connotation or thought to that, but listen, as a Christian, we're now living for the moment. Even as Christians in this world, we've not been promised tomorrow. Whatever promise you think you've received from anybody, the truth is only God knows. And you and I have the moment. Again, I don't mean to scare anybody, but my goodness, the last, 96 hours in this community, things have been shaking. Stuff broke in my office right here at the church. Things have been shaking. And what are you going to do about that? How does that affect you? Listen, that's absolutely indicative of the world. Everything's shaking in the world, so to speak. You've got the moment. As a Christian, I've got right now. I don't know in the next 10 minutes if I'll have a breath. Are you with me? You don't know if you're going to be alive in the next 3 minutes. The believer is to live for the moment. Christians, listen, I want to say this loud and clear. I hope it goes from coast to coast. A lot of believers are struggling and battling with the doctrines of the Bible. Why don't you wake up and realize that you better pay close attention to every word given, because you may not have tomorrow. They want to argue and bicker about this thing and about the other thing. And what, well, I don't know, what I feel is, you know what you might feel next? You might feel the ground open up and swallow California. Listen, the truth of the matter is, where's your faith? Who are you trusting in? Living for the moment is to live for Jesus. Why? Number one, our standard is Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, I'm going to kind of go crazy on this one because I love it. Verse 12 teaches us that our standard is Jesus. He says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves. We do not number or count ourselves up against others. The picture is this. Remember when you're little? Remember, listen, the word class. Remember you'd stand against the door and you'd mark your head or how high you were, and your friend, if your friend was taller or not or close, take your shoes off. Do it. You have to be barefoot. Remember that? That's what that word means. We don't walk around as Christians saying, hey, my Bible's bigger than your Bible. Oh, I go to church more than you do. That's insane. We don't class ourselves. We don't measure. We don't take the scale marking and then conclude, oh, look, I've arrived. Now, listen, I'm going to say some things that I hope really, really get your blood going. When he says we don't compare ourselves with others either, that's not wise to do. We don't commend ourselves. Compare is face-to-face looking at and concluding with your spectrum wavelength of understanding, I'm better than you are. You ever meet somebody who says they're a Christian and that's their attitude? I'm better than you are. It's too bad that you haven't grown up like me. That'd be great. Watch out for those kind of people. Measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, what does the Bible say? You're not wise. Why? Church, listen. Anytime we judge ourselves according to other humans, we are absolutely messed up. You want to know why? The best person sitting around you is pathetic. I am pathetic. Listen, we're pathetic. If we're looking at one another as the standard of acceptance before God and we look to a human being, we've completely missed the mark. You understand that? Why? Because if I hang out, listen, this is why cliques are so dangerous. You'll never escape a clique. As long as they're human beings with hearts wandering away from God, there's going to be a click. You understand that? You can be in a church of 10,000 people or a church of 10 people. There's going to be a click. I wonder how many of the disciples said, you know what, I'm sick of this click. When they saw Jesus take who? Peter, James, and John. There they go. There they go again, up to the mountain. Peter, James, and John. Peter, there he goes, taking them over there. And he's going to talk to them. Peter, James, and John. Remember, have you read your Bible? It's always Peter, James, and John. He took Peter, James, and John over to the side. He took Peter, James, and John up to the mount. He took them fishing. He took Peter. What did the other guys do? What did Andrew do? They were humans. You don't want to compare yourself with them. The Bible says don't compare yourself with anybody. Listen, it's serious, man. I remember in the early days of Calvary Chapel, every Calvary Chapel pastor thought they had to be, you know, large, rotunda, and bald-headed, and speak slow and deep. And then, you know, you realize, hey, God can use pathetic people like me. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come now. The word means come now. Follow me. Come now. Mimic me. Copy me. Be like me, Jesus said. And it's an imperative in the Greek. He's demanding, come on, be like me. He didn't say, hey, everybody sign up. I want you guys to be just like Matthew. Wow. Nope. But it's easy for us to say, oh, hey, man, I'm better than this guy. So what if you are? Listen, here's a little side note. If you are involved in a spiritual circle that compares one another with one another, it's a death spiral. It will bring you down. If you're in a group and it's focused on Jesus, it will pull you up. If you go to a church and you'll say, well, man, you know, we've compared ourselves among one another, and I'm the best guy in the team at our church. you know what? You are, if that's what you're doing and the Holy Spirit's getting, allowing you to get away with it, guess what you, guess where you go? You go to a dead church. If you go to a church that's alive, are you sitting down? You are only going to like about 50% of what I'm about to say. If you go to a church that's alive, based upon the word, it means the Holy Spirit's present. What is he committed to? He's committed to having you grow up and me grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ while at the same time putting you into Christ's service. For what reason? To bring with us as many men and women, boys and girls into the kingdom of God until time runs out for us. Are you with me? Now watch this. How does he do that? Here's what you're not going to like and you will like. You should be going to a church with the Word of God open and it comforts you. Oh, I like that. Comfort. Great. You should go, that same church should convict you of sin. I don't mean church, you know what I mean? But you should be going to a church where the Spirit's at work. Comfort, conviction. You should be encouraged. And at the same time, you should be cut to the heart. How does that feel? To be cut to the heart. You know what that means? If you're growing here, if you're growing in this church, it means you're going to get angry at times. We are people prone to be angry with the messenger rather than the message. If I'm faithful to speak God's word, you're going to be comforted. You are going to be encouraged. You're going to be cut to the heart. You're going to get angry at times. You're going to disagree. Why? Think about it. We are all God's believers in this room, I'm assuming. We're born again. We're going to heaven. But to think for a moment that you are beyond the Spirit convicting you and touching a very tender part of your life, and you get, well, I can't believe he said that. Well, how do you know I said it? How do you know I wasn't quoting exactly or the Holy Spirit was using exactly what I said and he cuts your heart? Isn't it funny? He didn't cut the heart of the person sitting next to you. He got your heart. And people today, because they're shallow believers, they go like this. I can't believe it. I'm out of here. And the person next to them, husband or wife or friend, goes, what? I don't get it. That really blessed me. I can't believe it. What do you, listen, J. Vernon McGee said, when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the dog that yelps is the one that got hit. Right? Think of it. What did you come to church for? Why do you go to church? I should start posting letters, anonymous letters of what I get. We visited your church. It didn't meet our needs. We didn't like this. We didn't like the other thing. And we hate purple shirts. And all of the, literally, seriously. Are you with me? Are you hearing me? Look, I understand that if you're going to be raiding a restaurant or a hotel. But we think, oh, the church exists for my good pleasure. Excuse me, we exist for God's good pleasure. We're to be growing, and it's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be easy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called More Than What Meets the Eye. It's actually a mini-series taken from chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, specifically verses 7 through 18. More Than What Meets the Eye is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a reminder about the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free, and once you download it, you'll have immediate on-the-go mobile access to real-life TV programs, our daily Real Radio broadcasts. You'll have video of Pastor Jack's weekly teachings, the online Bible, along with its daily reading plan, by the way. You can listen to it and or read it. Pastor Jack's real-life devotionals, tools and resources to help you know God a whole lot better. And you can connect with Pastor Jack through Facebook and YouTube and a whole lot more. That's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. It's a free download. Just go to your app store and find the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. To find out more, pay us a visit at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Want to reach us by phone? Real easy. Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.